What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Over the Top, where we're talking all things English Premier League. We're back with our review of Match Week 3, and we had another absolutely crazy week of matches. I mean, for starters, we had VAR deciding 3 games, and I'm really going to try not to lose my shit when we talk about that. Other than that, we had some really interesting and even really surprising results, including some of the favorites of the pod getting absolutely smacked. Our preseason previews aren't looking so hot. Anyway, I'm Kyle. I got my man Justin here. What's up, dude?
What's up, Kyle? I mean, last week I alluded to, you know, this not being a Premier League season, that it was a 1-0 cold night victory in Stoke. But holy hell, Kyle. Goals, goals, goals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like, you know, in the good old days of the Premier League, there were a lot of really dull matches played in the mud, and they're just really ugly. Stoke just like cracking some skulls, Hull City going in there and like cutting down some ankles, and it was ugly. None of that has been the case in three weeks into the English Premier League season this year. I mean, I feel like I can't remember a season or a few weeks where there were this many goals consistently.
It's crazy.
I mean, if anything, it just makes it a better spectacle. So I'm loving it. I'm sure you're loving it. You know,
Danny Ings is on pace for 38 goals.
That's crazy. Gotta love Danny Ings, man. It's funny that Ings is really, you know, I was looking at his stats previous seasons, and then I was like, what did Ings look like when he's 20? Because dude looks like he's 40 years old. He's looked 40 years old his entire career. And
you know who looks 80?
Who's that?
Charlie Adam.
Charlie, yeah.
I dare you. He really does. I dare you to Google a picture of him right now, and it looks frightening. It looks like the display of your Halloween front yard. It's scary.
Charlie Adam looks like he loves a good pint. I know that.
Oh,
but
for sure.
But doesn't like the dentist.
All right, Kyle.
Let's get into good stuff.
One of Charlie Adam's former clubs, Kyle, Liverpool. Look at that for a segue.
I know. I've never thought we would use Charlie Adam as a segue, especially into Liverpool of all teams. But yes, Liverpool
3, Arsenal 1, Kyle. And, you know, it's an interesting game. It's hard to sum it up, but I guess we could just get into the flow and then give our thoughts. Arsenal scored first, Kyle. They were up 1-0.
Yeah, and it was totally against the run of play. I mean, Liverpool came out the blocks just, you know, really going at Arsenal, and were kind of peppering the goal the entire beginning of the match. And then out of nowhere, Andy Robertson, who's just been great for Liverpool for, what, 2 seasons so far, just had an absolutely calamitous error.
It was a howler. Totally scuffs his foot right to Lacazette, who kind of scuffs the shot, to be honest, but still went in. So
it wasn't pretty. It really wasn't pretty, but you know, it happened. It just goes to show that it happens to even the best players in games. Van Dijk has had some errors recently, but Arsenal scoring totally against a run of play, and it was like, you know that feeling when you're playing FIFA and you go down and you're like, all right, shit's about to get serious. And so you're sitting on your couch and you suddenly lean forward.
Yo, FIFA lean is a real thing, for sure.
That's how you know you mean business. Liverpool totally leaned forward after this one. They just went up another few gears, and it was really kind of scary to see.
Yeah, I mean, this is against, I mean, a pretty good Arsenal team, I will say. I mean, I probably come with more positives than negatives, and that's with Liverpool utterly dominating the game, honestly. Yep. And yeah, I mean, they were relentless with their pressure. They got Arsenal into very sticky situations throughout the match. Their wing back play, which we'll get to in a second, was fantastic. And then they finished the chances mostly that they need to, right? Mane in front of a goal for a tap in, Robertson from a beautiful cross from Trent Alexander-Arnold right in front of goal, easy goal. Mm-hmm. They're just a complete team, Kyle. With depth, you have Hota coming off the bench now. You have Origi down there. You have Minamino. You have fullback depth now.
Yeah.
You have Naby Keita. You have Wijnaldum, if he sticks around. You have Thiago, who wasn't even in the 18 today.
ridiculous depth. I mean, Shaqiri can't even get a game in, and right. You know, he plays in the Carabao Cup and totally lights it up. It's just
he's too good for the Carabao Cup. I mean,
yeah,
City or whoever they play is not a competition for Shaqiri.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, overall, this, in my opinion, this is Liverpool's best performance of the season because,
sure.
You know, we'll get into Arsenal a little bit later, but I will say, you know, during the last pod, we were talking a lot about how this match would tell us a lot about Arsenal. It'd kind of be a sink or swim kind of match. But even though it's 3-1, Arsenal, I thought, really played well. And it just goes to show just how good Liverpool were. I mean, they've got depth. They're a machine. I mean, Diogo Jota came on for about 10 minutes and was so lively, was almost immediately set up a goal, had a great finish off of a, I think, pretty poor David Luiz header, but still was, nonetheless, it was a great goal. Looked really lively. And how many good players didn't even step onto the pitch for Liverpool? And you brought up their press. Their press was suffocating this game.
Suffocating. I mean, Arsenal tried to play through, and they kept at it, which was, I don't know if the word
admirable
or cute, you know? One of the two. But, I mean, it was amazing. Just the overall team play and the strategy and the fight that those players play for Klopp, too, and his strategy. Like, I don't know if they could have done much better. And despite what Roy Keane said, I don't think it was sloppy minus the one note from Andy Robertson, right? On the flip side, Kyle, the reason I think you and I are so positive after Arsenal, after this game, even though they were outshot 21-4 and outpossessed like 66-34, like even if you look at the stats, it looks pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But it looks like they came in with intention and with a plan, Kyle, which is something we haven't seen from Arsenal in a while.
Yeah, it's true. They've looked soft for what, how many, 10 years maybe? I mean, even when they were in the Champions League and their squads were much better, they always looked so vulnerable, really soft, just kind of disorganized at the back. But they really came at this game with a lot more physicality and, you said, intention. I mean, they looked dangerous. You know, we talked about how Liverpool dominated the match, but there was a stretch of about 20 minutes there in the beginning of the second half where Arsenal created chances. Lacazette should have scored a second in the match. And so there are positives that Arsenal can take from this game. But still, they didn't take their chances. And ultimately, they're just not in the same class as Liverpool.
No, which, I mean, most teams aren't. So that's not necessarily
there's
a knock on Arsenal. I would put them in the pretty good tier, which is probably enough for fourth spot in the Premier League. So we'll see what happens. I think there's some promise there. I think Arsenal probably has more quality lineups that when the squad starts to gel together a little bit, teams, players start to get full fitness, we'll start to see that. Like, I don't know if Ceballos is full fitness yet. We don't know about their defenders. Gabriel didn't make the starting 11, which is kind of funny because in our preseason pod, I said they're going to sign all these defenders and still start David Luiz, which was kind of funny. I mean, they have these defenders. Tierney looks promising-ish. I mean, he had some sloppy moments today. That's where actually the slop comes in. So we'll see. But some bright spots for Arsenal, even in defeat.
Definitely. Real quick before we move on to the next one, we talked about their defense. Still not great, but you'd expect it would improve with the new players. But interesting team selection or no selection, Nicola Pepe. Cost all of £70 million last season, hasn't even started for three matches in the Premier League.
Yeah, and should he start, Kyle?
On this basis, no. I mean, Willian's been great for them since the season started. I know he played primarily great in that first match, but Willian gives him something different and a sort of classiness, that craftiness that can create players for their amazing strikers like
Lacazette. That's proven in the Premier League that Pepe hasn't done yet. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But that's could be a waste of money when people were crying to buy defenders last season. So interesting developments there.
Yep.
Moving on, Kyle, to not a very interesting game. Brighton 2, United 2, Kyle.
Did you say 2?
But wait, Kyle, the game is over and we're checking VAR for a penalty. Hold on.
We're going to have to wait for about another 4 minutes. VAR call coming in.
All right, Kyle, it's just been decided. United 3, Brighton 2. And this game was played on Sunday, so it was yesterday, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what day it is.
I don't know. It was this weekend, and it, utter craziness, Kyle.
Yeah.
Bats, blank craziness.
No, absolutely. It was nuts. I mean, it's hard to even know where to start with this match. Well, in a sense, but at the same time, we all know where it has to start.
Well, we know where it ended.
But what I'm saying is there are probably going to be a lot of things about this match that we leave out just because so much shit happened.
Sure. I want to start with something interesting. You want to play along here?
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you some numbers, and you tell me what team it was, okay?
Right.
All right. 53% possession. So pretty even, but who had 53% possession this
game? I'm going to say United.
All right. I'll give you the answer in a second. Who had 7 shots this game?
Oh, definitely United.
So Brighton had 53% possession, so for the first question, but ding, ding, ding for the second. United had 7. Brighton had 18. 18 shots, Kyle.
And how many on target did Brighton have?
Brighton had, 5 on target, but that doesn't include all the
that does...
post is off target, Kyle.
So all 5 shots, 4 of them, I think, from Leandro Trossard, who hit the post 4 times. I've never in my life have seen that, but this game was just absolutely bonkers. This was a game that Manchester United had no business winning, let alone tying. Let's be totally honest. Even Ole Gunnar Solskjaer admitted after the match, pretty much everyone who watched the game with 2 eyeballs agreed after the match. It's just absolutely mental, and I guess a good place to start off is we really have to talk about VAR. So, it looks like Brighton scores with essentially the last play of the game.
The 95th minute, so there's 1.5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, and I forget how many minutes extra time the referee said there was. It was either 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So Solly March scores right at the death. You think the game's over right then and there. But this play continues, and the ref calls a final whistle.
Game over 2-2.
When it's Manchester United, okay, I'm showing my bias here, but in the lead up to the final play, there's an apparent handball by Neil Maupai, who scored earlier and played a really good game. Despite the final whistle blowing, the referee decides to give a handball penalty to Manchester United to who else? Bruno Fernandes, the man eats penalties for breakfast. Never thought I'd saw a game restart after ending, but Jesus, this is it. I don't even know where to go from here.
I feel like we need to incorporate the penalty and Bruno Fernandes, and I don't know what it is because commonly it's referred to as Penaldo, right? With all the BS fans saying only Cristiano only scores penalties, which isn't true, yep. But kind of true. Bruno Fernandes really only scores penalties. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it seems like he scored 8 penalties this season already, even though they've only played 2 matches. But
I think that just extends from Project Restart. But it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. And to be fair, other games this weekend, it was called a penalty, which really wasn't. This was probably a penalty.
Right. Yeah. There were probably 3. There were 3 VAR calls that. VAR handball calls that decided games this weekend. Out of all of them, even though the referee had already blown the whistle, this is probably the one that you'd say was actually a handball. I mean, Maupai's arm was, he was jumping and he wasn't looking at the ball, but his arm was in such a crazy position and he was facing the ball that it, you know, I'm not upset about the handball. I think a lot of people wouldn't be. It just was bizarre. But it's really hard to emphasize how much Brighton dominated this game.
They looked like the better team, did they not?
In every single aspect of the game. I mean, I know we could go into a shitting on United mode, but Brighton just, I thought they were excellent. They're great to watch. Here we were last season, absolutely destroying them after every game. This season started with us talking about their nice jerseys, but turns out they can play well also. I mean, hit the frame 5 times. Their midfield looks really nice with Alzate and Lamptey looks great on the right. Their attack looks clean. They've got at least two really great center backs. They just couldn't finish as many chances as they had. You know, in a few of those Trossard, efforts against the post, he really should have finished. And when you don't, you know, you're always
going to get punished. I mean, to move on to United, Kyle, I mean, Rashford had an excellent goal this game.
The composure for Rashford's goal was so good.
I would say that was even a world-class goal. That was fantastic, right? Yeah. But other than that, there were a lot of different struggles and some cause for concern with United for their opening two games. I mean, Crystal Palace, the first game, they dominated possession, but I wouldn't say they deserved to win that game by any stretch.
No, not even close. And the scoreline actually reflected it at that time. They
now travel to Brighton. They get an own goal, which is unfortunate for Brighton. I mean, fortunate for United. They have Rashford's beauty. And then besides that, they were dominated. And I thought their defense was taken advantage of, which we'll get to in a second. Their midfield, Kyle. I mean, that expensive midfield of Fernandez, Pogba, all the Matic, all their players that they have. I mean, it's getting outworked and outclassed. I thought Pogba was terrible.
Yeah, he was. It's so disappointing. Like, for just the neutral fan, Pogba, just the guy has so much ability and just was anonymous today. I mean, yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. And this is two matches into the season. Manchester United have really struggled. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'd love to hear your take, but bad decisions in this game, zero game management. I'm really starting to worry for him. I don't know. What's your take on
Ollie? I mean, your prediction of him being ousted by Christmas isn't as ridiculous as when you made it. So that's all I can say right now.
Nope.
Let's move on, Kyle, to a different Manchester club. But it could be even a crazier result.
Yeah.
Manchester City 2, Leicester City 5, Kyle.
You're loving that, man, aren't you?
5-2. Like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, it was bizarre. And we were talking about this a little bit before we hopped on the pod, but Rodri, Man City's defensive center mid player, after the match, apparently came out and was quoted saying that the opposition did nothing. Homie, did nothing. They scored 5 goals on you. I know 3 were penalties, but 3 clear penalties. It created even more chances. Scored some golazos on you.
The 2 non-penalties were world-class, probably head-to-head for goal of the game. I mean, Mahrez had a fantastic goal too. But
right, and after that Mahrez goal, I came in like the 3rd minute of the match, and you're just thinking City are just totally running away with this one.
They dominated the beginning of this match. It definitely took about a good solid 20 minutes at least for Leicester to settle into this game. But after that, I mean, City could not handle runners in behind. And Leicester knew that. To Leicester's credit, they stuck to their game plan. They did not freak out after conceding that goal.
Yeah, and you mentioned their game plan. And this was one of the times when I've noticed Brendan Rodgers, Leicester's manager, adjusting their tactics probably more than I've ever seen him do before. I mean, Leicester set up to counterattack, and it worked. They knew that City's weakness was their center backs, and Vardy just had the time of his life. Real quick shout out, Vardy's back heel flick of a goal, man, sauce.
Yeah, I mean, just to get the little chip sauce over the keeper too.
Beautiful.
How would you feel if you scored like that in a rec league? Like, could you imagine just your blood pumping after that? But like, and then a Premier League game against Manchester City.
I wouldn't know how to celebrate. I'd probably
give you the lead too.
Yeah,
just the cojones to pull that one off too.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Vardy's shown if he has anything, he's got pace and he's got cojones. But Leicester City, they limited Man City's chances a reasonable amount, promising for them to see James Madison come on at the end and get a goal and an assist. And that goal, though, probably the goal of the season, right? Unless you.
Rocket, I mean, that's tough because you could to the top right, unsavable by any like 2 Kepas. It's a no chance.
But as soon as I said goal of the season, I was thinking like, man, that Vardy back heel flick was nice. But I don't know, Leicester, ton of positives taken from the game. All 3 penalties were definitely warranted. let's move on to Man City real quick. First things first, Pep made, he overthought this, and he made a mistake in this one.
He went for the win, right? He didn't like Leicester. He saw that they were counterattacking. He's like, hey, let's press them more. Let's go forward. So he made an offensive substitution by taking off Fernandinho and putting on the young striker Delap. And that totally nuked City's form and their shape, right? Because when you take off Fernandinho, which is the blanket for that, said those center backs, Leicester City exposed that back line so bad. I mean, they did it a little bit in the first half, but the second half was glaring. And we've seen that from City in the second half in the last game against Wolves, where we both talked about last week, where City were brilliant in the first half against Wolves. Also, Wolves were terrible, but City were brilliant. Fantastic showing. And then the second half, Wolves should have scored at least two, if not more. Yeah. They were running in behind, going really at them. And so you saw the same thing from Leicester today, or Leicester this weekend. And just shows either an overthinking from manager or some of the defensive pieces just aren't there, or that, that headspace isn't there. You can't allow Vardy to run in behind like that.
Yeah, well, and it makes you question, you know, we all pretty much see Pep as the greatest manager in the world, but his teams have always looked defensively vulnerable, and City probably look more defensively vulnerable than any of his other teams. And he's brought in Nathan Ake for £40 million, about to bring in Ruben Diaz for, what is it, like £60 million?
Mm-hmm. They'll have Laporte, who didn't play today.
They'll have Laporte, you know, so it just has me thinking, you know, does Ruben Diaz solve their problems? Because clearly their issue is center back. Always has been, will continue to be. I don't know.
I don't even love their left back situation, Kyle.
Yeah,
I love Benjamin Mendy over there. I think he can make some bonehead plays. I mean, he has some ability. And I think Kyle Walker, too. I mean, he has a little more ability, I would say. But he also makes, like, as witnessed in this game, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, Cancelo's going to come back, too. They're going to have more depth. I mean, they do have injuries. They don't have a striker right now, which obviously hurt them. But Leicester has injuries, too. I don't necessarily want to hear it. And you don't allow five goals at home. That's the first time Pep Guardiola has ever done that. So,
right, definitely.
You can't say, Rodri, that you can't appreciate how the opponent comes and plays the game. Because even though City had more shots than Leicester, all Leicester's shots were on target. And you came from Atletico Madrid. So I don't want to hear anything about style of play or whatever garbage.
Yeah, he should be a master of the dark arts under Simeone. So real quick, last thing, where does this leave City? I mean, we both were all aboard the Man City train before the season. I think we both picked them to win the season. I thought they would definitely improve and figure out their defense. Has them in the case. Man, I don't know. Are City still the favorites?
No. They're not the favorites, but I am not freaking out yet about my pick. I'm not changing my pick. It's still so early, right?
You got to stick by your conviction.
Liverpool's an injury away from really trouble. So I'm not panicking or anything, but it is cause for concern, no doubt. And they will get players back. They have many injuries and clustered injuries, I would say, around their striker and their defense, center back position. So once they start getting those players back and signing Ruben Diaz and getting their full complement of players where they're playing at the positions that helps them succeed, I think they'll be a machine again. So last game we'll cover in depth. You get four games this week, Kyle. That's how crazy this week was.
Yep. Yeah, we had to limit some games.
West Bromwich Albion, Kyle. Barcode FC, 3. Chelsea, 3.
Yeah, it was weird. And if you saw the game at halftime, 3-0 West Brom. 3-0. You know, there's like this old trope that there are games of two halves where, and this was 100% that. I mean, you know, Frank Lampard making two subs at halftime after seeing his team absolutely shit the bed in the first half. I think it was 3-0 within 30 minutes of the game.
It was.
You know,
It
could have been four. Marcus Alonso on the first West Brom goal had a terrible header that basically put it on a plate for, was it Callum Robinson?
Callum Robinson, yeah.
Second goal, Thiago Silva on his debut, coming from Paris Saint-Germain, 36 years old, world-class defender, right? First game, captains Chelsea in his first game, and then pulls a Steven Gerrard where it was like he slipped or something and he was the last man. Yikes. Callum Robinson had a free reign to go in for his second of the match. And then third goal, just total joke of a defensive play on a free kick. Pretty much non-existent. Chelsea, the second half, though, totally different team after they brought on Hudson-Odoi and Azpilicueta.
Yeah, I mean, looked a lot better. I mean, granted, we don't have much faith in the West Brom. And when they're getting pinned back like that, it was a matter of time, I think. You know, it was just, was it enough time? Was 45 minutes enough time for Chelsea to score three? Because we saw it coming, right? It was just, it was no doubt after that second half. And I really want to know what Lampard said at halftime.
Yeah.
His look going into halftime, my God, I would not want to be a player in that Chelsea locker room. No. Like, I can't imagine a person more schemed than Lampard looked right there. It was scary.
Yeah. I mean, from Lampard's point of view, he was probably thinking, all right, we finally drop Kepa. We can bank on like not having these like terrible calamitous errors. No, they had two. So even though they drop Kepa and bring on old man Caballero, Lampard, you know, basically has new players and the same old problems.
Sure. I mean, maybe the keeper could have been a little better, but no one's blaming the keeper. It's all in the defense, no. Especially those two goals. I mean, that was terrible defending. So,
yep. As we said with West Brom, though, this team has some talent going forward. I know their wingers are pretty good.
Especially from their wingers, which we've highlighted before.
Yes, but defensively, you know, West Brom, you know, traditionally in the Premier League, were always a really defensive, negative team. Not so much this time. They go out and attack to their credit, but they really are leaky in the back. Maybe even worse so than Fulham.
As we've said last week, returning from the gulag, Kyle, we have Branislav Ivanovic, so that should shore up things, no doubt.
He's battle hardened from his time at the gulag. So Chelsea and Lampard, remains to be seen where this leaves them, but it's been a pretty poor start to their season.
All right, Kyle, let's get into rapid fire. First game, Crystal Palace 1, Everton 2. Something interesting happened in this game.
Just a little something
called handball, Kyle, and this handball rule is brutal.
It's killing everyone. I mean, there's no point in saying that VAR is negatively affecting my team more than your team, because let's be honest, everyone's gonna get totally screwed by this at some point. Everyone's gonna benefit off of it. But yeah, Joel Ward, you know, arm was in a pretty natural position outside of his body. Penalty called, though, where Charleston steps up, slots away the second goal. Pretty much everyone, you know, in the footballing world is pissed about this one. But, you know, rather than harping on the negative, and it is really negative, you got to say, Everton, though, that midfield is looking nice.
They look like a big six midfield, Kyle. They have the quality of a big six team in that midfield. Defense, not so much, but...
No.
They're going to be good this year. They're going to be fun to watch.
And for all those saying James couldn't do it in the Premier League, that James wasn't good enough for teams like Arsenal and Spurs and stuff.
United, yeah.
Everyone would love to have a James right now. He's pinging that ball around, has all the time in the world.
For man. £20 million, too?
Or maybe even no money? I mean, there's still question marks over how much he even costs, so...
Crystal Palace, I'm not discouraged yet by them. They've shown some good performances through three games. They have some attacking talent now. Before,
yeah.
I mean, they've signed some players. Eze got his first start. Looks lively, raw a little bit, but lively. Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Burnley 0, Southampton 1. Kyle, as I alluded to in the beginning of the show, Ings can't stop scoring.
No, the man keeps banging them in. He, I think after Project Restart. Or even after the second half of the season, it seems like Ings scores every single match. He's got to be gold for a fantasy Premier League owner.
Oh, I mean, it's consistency.
The guy is money. And in a team that doesn't really create all that much, but most importantly for Southampton, probably more so than the win, is just keeping a clean sheet after really leaking in a lot of goals last week against Spurs. They got that response that their manager, Hasenhüttl, was asking for.
And they have responded after tough situations in the past. So when things go wrong, they have shown some character, which is something I always look for in a side, is whether definitely they're going to stay up or not. And I think Southampton, we agree that they have enough quality to definitely do that.
Definitely. Burnley, though, some question marks over Burnley. No real signings coming in. No money available to Sean Dyche, their manager. It's not looking so good, but it's only their second game. But it's not, man.
Well, for two, a lot of pressure on Chris Wood, Kyle.
A lot of pressure.
Sheffield nil, Leeds United one, and getting that one, Patrick Bamford at the death.
That's right. Yeah, the first Yorkshire derby in like 20 years, I swear. It's good to have Leeds back. Good to have Sheffield back, too. This game was really back and forth. Pretty entertaining, low-scoring derby.
I mean, even though Leeds dominated possession, I would say this one was pretty even, to be honest with you.
Sheffield created a lot of chances.
They did. But they're now 0 for 3 in their first three games, Kyle, having a fantastic season last year. So I know they're rumored to bring in a striker. They need some offensive help. They need goals this year. I mean, their defense will be probably not as solid as last year because it was fantastic, but it's still going to be okay. But they need some goals.
That's a concern, though, because, I mean, their defense and their game management got them through the season. And, you know, I would say if their defensive solidity is not there, I don't know, do you start to get a little worried about that? You know, their only signing was defensively was bringing in the guy who used to have dreadlocks for Chelsea. What's his name? Young guy. Played for Leipzig last season. I don't know. What's his name? Dreadlocks. Anyway. Clearly, he's not playing, not starting, not making an impact yet. Probably will, but Sheffield. Yeah, it's looking
just
like...
Real quick about season. Sheffield. Their next five games, Kyle, I'm going to give them to you. Arsenal, Fulham, Liverpool, City, Chelsea. That's Yikes. Brutal. I mean, if they get 3 points in their next five games, they're going to be 3 points in eight games. That's not good. No. I mean, they'll have a much easier stretch, I imagine, after that. But that's a brutal stretch for Sheffield.
Yeah. Hard to stay positive after that sort of run.
Spurs won, Newcastle won, Kyle. I think I could sum up this game in three words. Post, handball.
I really want to like limit what I say in this one because, dude, I was miserable all day on Sunday. After the game, Son injured with a hamstring injury. Not looking good. It's the first of many, I assume, as a negative Spurs fan. But hey, we got Bale in the stands, not practicing his swing on this one. Actually interested in the Lucas Moura goal, you know, so that's cool. But this game had no business being a draw. And it's a shame because Spurs, you know, this whole season, even when they've won, it's been unconvincing. But Spurs, they really looked good, but they didn't finish their chances. And, you know, in this new era of, you know, crazy VAR handballs, you're always at risk if you don't put the game away.
Absolutely. I mean, if this game was 2-0, we wouldn't be talking about this as much. Nearly as
no.
much. I mean, it was a total BS call. Total BS call. But that's, I mean, it's the rule. It's the rule now.
It
is. It's not the refs. It's the rule. And so the rule something needs to be done, obviously. But
it's just crazy because Newcastle's first shot on target was the 97th minute, that penalty. And they throw on Andy Carroll at the end of the game and lump it forward to him. And he's like heading it down to where arms could be flailing
and
every time.
And that's like, if you're a manager, that gets called a penalty and you're not a good side, like, hell, I'm going to tell my players, try to just kick it in a controversial area and see what happens.
Yeah, it's so not good. So now it's just now with Son out, Spurs this week, play Tuesday, play Thursday, play again next weekend in the Premier League. It's just, it's
United,
nuts.
No,
and,
yeah.
But like, you know, Son's out. They literally don't have a second striker. Kane's going to be overplayed. Probably will get hurt again. It's just, it was all starting to find a little positive.
You start at a bottom, like low bottom of the barrel. You come back up a little bit after Southampton. You're going to come down and then can't imagine against United if that goes bad. The way United has been playing. Oof, we'll see what happens there. Next, Kyle, one of the most shocking results of the weekend. West Ham 4, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0. What?
What the hell happened?
I mean,
you know, you and I were talking.
The only thing I have to say about this game is that if this is what happens when David Moyes stays home, he needs to stay home more often. I don't care if it's because of COVID risk, if it's because of a tired knee. He just needs to manage from home.
Yeah. Yeah, COVID infecting Moyes is. Oh no, I should stop there. But
I mean, it was
positive for West Ham. Put in their best performance in a long time, but it's got to be said, Wolves—they were terrible.
It was like the whole first half of the City game all over again. So, not sure what's happening there. I mean, they I'm not like worried about them in any stretch because they have so much talent, but. I don't know. I mean, Nelson Semedo got his first start for them. It looked like a pretty strong squad, but brutal defensive performance and terrible result against a not great team, to be honest. So
no, I mean, I was thinking if this makes me think differently about West Ham, and not really. It's just this was so bad from Wolves.
Yeah. Lastly, Fulham 0, Aston Villa 3. Aston Villa 2-2. In the opening.
All right, let's just stop real quick and let's relegate Fulham immediately, right now.
I think they're this year's Brighton, and not because of their style of play, as we talked about pre-show. It's more of they just suck ass. That's just what it is. Let's move them back to the championship where they belong. Let's get 35 games of them starting young American Anthony Robinson, just to have his get some experience in the Premier League under his belt.
Yeah.
And that's the only.
What about Tim Ream?
Tim Ream can go into outer space with Brighton's old squad. And that's what happens. I think that's it. That's the only saving grace from Fulham this year.
Yeah, I mean, Fulham, really soft defensively, not very good going forward. Their hope to create chances is to cross it to their big lump, Mitrovic, who's a good striker, but that's literally all they got. And, you know, the crosses usually tend to be really poor quality. They're not a Premier League side. I don't know how. I mean, you know more about the Championship than I do. I don't know how they made it to the Premier League.
I mean, they were the best side in the playoff and at the end of the season. Brentford was really the best side of the remaining. And honestly, they should have been promoted because West Brom limped to the end and they got lucky they made the automatic qualification spot. But Brentford was really bad at the end of the season. That's why Fulham got promoted. But Brentford had players like Ollie Watkins and Benrahma, who's linked with the above side. So, yeah, Fulham, not good. Not good at all.
They're terrible.
Them and Barco definitely are in trouble.
Yep. Real quick with Villa, they have a little more quality now these days. Ollie Watkins looks lively. Grealish will have an even better season. Villa, I think, brought in Bertrand Traore from Lyon, former Chelsea Academy player.
And kept... Tyrone Mings as well. So,
right. Yeah. So they.
It's going to be more interesting from them this season than it was last.
Definitely. I was really surprised they stayed up last season. They'll probably still be in that conversation, but much, much better.
Six for six, though. Great start for them. Kyle, that's it. That's all. I mean, it was a crazy week. We could have talked about the Spurs at more length. We could have talked about that West Ham match. We could have talked about Everton. They looked fantastic through three games. So, a lot of quality, a lot of interesting results. Next week, we have a couple interesting ones, especially highlighted by Manchester United Spurs next Sunday. I know that involves your favorite clubs, so that'll be interesting. Two to watch, though, Kyle. Everton-Brighton. That's going to be kind of a fantastic matchup.
Did you ever think you'd catch yourself saying that in your entire life?
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to Everton-Brighton. Can you imagine that? If you told me that last season, I would have told you I'd rather be sleeping.
Yeah. I mean, 2020's been a weird year, man.
And then Leeds United, Manchester City, which is actually fascinating for so many levels. But the fact that City just gave up 5, Leeds United are going to score. That's just going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
and Leeds could give up 5 in any given game. Doesn't matter who they're playing.
If Kevin De Bruyne is healthy, they're going to score. City are going to get at least 2 goals. So this is going to be a fascinating.
Yeah, Pep's got to be careful. And it's interesting because Pep is playing his coaching idol, basically, in Marcelo Bielsa. So it's going to be all out attack. You know, you said this week is crazy. This next week, outside of the Premier League, is crazy, too. We've got Carabao Cup games in the midweek, on Tuesday and Wednesday. you know, my team Spurs also play on Thursday in the Europa League and play a Israeli team, and then Premier League again. So, but luckily after that, there's an international break. Well, luckily for those players who aren't playing internationally. So it's just, man, the games are just coming thick and fast.
Yeah, and the thing about Spurs is if they don't trot out some 17-year-olds in that Carabao Cup tie, then they're stupid. Because clearly the Europa League is way more important than the Carabao Cup and then the game against Manchester United. So I think it's normal for players. I mean, it sucks, but it's normal to have a Thursday-Sunday turnaround, especially with Europa League clubs. Not normal to go Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. So give all those players a rest. Play some backups. Maybe, I don't know, Skip. Do you have him still? Parrot. Players like that.
Neither of them.
Both loaned. Yeah. I don't even know who your B squad or U19, who's all on that, but they need to play.
Yeah.
Just have Chelsea steamroll.
It's crazy. This was always going to happen in the post-COVID. Well, I'd say post-COVID, but we're still living with it and still seeing teams test positive widely. But this was always going to happen in the COVID year. You know, even the crazy Christmas fixture list doesn't get like this. So, you know, it just goes to show depth is everything, and depth will be
everything. And this year, especially. So we'll see what happens.
Which is tricky with all these clubs struggling financially with COVID losses, and yet they need a bigger squad. It's just a weird catch-22. You know, it's
a lot of
it's
young
tough.
Players getting minutes.
Yep. Yeah, that's really the only solution.
Anyway, Kyle, that's all we have for this week. Goal of the week goes to the Leicester City game, and that's all as specific as I will be. For Kyle Jensen, I am Justin. We will see you next week on the pod. Take care.